News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, folks, listen, this has been a full day already, but I'm seeing that I've got one caller on the line. So, Copper, did she hang on? Did Lee hang on during the break? Is she still? Okay, great. Tell you what, let's go to line one then. Lee from Huntsville. Lee, how are you? What's on your mind?
Doing good. Right Side Ruffian.
Right Side Ruffian.
Yes. I'd like to know how we can change how the medical board is appointed, how we, you know, what laws can be made to change this? Because this is something that makes California blush, for goodness sake.
It really does. You know, the very idea that California has a more democratic way of doing something than we do just kind of boggles the mind, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that's why, honestly, I texted Parker from the Alabama Policy Institute, who did the research and came up with all that. I texted him during the last break and said, just want you to know that I even told him on the air that I didn't believe it when you first wrote it. But so Lee, what would have to happen is the legislature is going to have to get involved, because this is a statutory scheme. This was at some point in the past put in place by the legislature, can only be revoked by the legislature by amending the state code. And so they would have to do that by passing something in one of the upcoming sessions. And I would hope what they would do is appoint something or put something in place that allows the governor to appoint the state health officer subject to confirmation by the Senate. And I think that would be the way to go.
We need something like Florida. We need to be able to appoint someone who's speaking words like this man in Florida, because I just haven't heard anything like that true in a long time.
No, it wasn't that refreshing. That was something else, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Lee, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate you being in the audience and glad you're one of our Right Side Ruffians. All right, folks. Yeah. So what you just heard there was, to refresh the conversation, was in the last segment, I was talking about the fact that Alabama, and I discussed this as part of my triple dipper for the day, is that Florida is leading from the front on questions of public health, because they have the benefit in Florida, like most states, in fact, like 49 states, of being able to appoint someone by the governor to be the state health officer, someone who the governor is allowed to vet and choose and also hold accountable, and I would assume fire. I don't know for a fact whether Florida has a confirmation process, but I would hope they would. And so what we're looking at here is that Alabama is the only state in the nation where a state health officer, the same person who can issue the edicts that affect our lives in a pandemic, that same state health officer is not appointed by any governing body, by any governor, not confirmed by the legislature, nothing. No accountability whatsoever, not accountable to the taxpayers, to the voters. He is appointed by the Medical Association of the State of Alabama, which is a lobbying organization on behalf of doctors and medical providers here in the state. That's who points him in there. And I don't know how it, I don't know how it came to be that that was the case. And honestly, to be truthful, after 8 years in the state Senate, it never once even came up on our radar. It took a pandemic for people began to go, what? What is going on? Why is that the deal? Well, I do agree with Lee. We've got to see some fixes for this. And so those of you that are in our state legislature, if you happen to be listening, and I know some of you do, folks, we've got to change this, all right? There's got to be some accountability. There's several things that need to happen. Number one is, I do believe that our legislature needs to have the opportunity to call itself into session. Right now, it does not have that authority. The legislature can convene for a regular session on schedule, but it cannot convene for a special session without the governor calling. And so, especially if we were ever in a position where we had one party in the legislature and another party in the executive office, it would never happen. Well, truthfully, it didn't happen last year. Governor Ivey declined to call the legislature in when we needed them to come in to fix some issues related to the pandemic. And they couldn't do a thing about it. Now, truthfully, I will say this. I also didn't hear legislative leadership squawking much about it either. They just let the governor do their jobs. And for a while there, the governor was acting like she was both the legislative and executive branch, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. But the other thing that needs to be rectified, aside from that level of, you know, leveling the playing field, if you will, between the legislative and executive branches, we've also got to have someone in place as our state health officer who, when they give advice, they can be held accountable for that advice. Right now, the only thing we can do is hold Scott Harris, our state health officer, to account in the court of public opinion. But that's about it. The governor has no authority to fire him. The state legislature has no authority to fire him. In fact, neither one of them appointed him. Nobody confirmed him. He was put in place by the Medical Association of the State of Alabama. And when you see things that are coming out right now, like confusing, conflicting means of doing things, like, you know, right now we've got, I'm looking at a story. Where is that? Here it is. Story out of Newsweek about, you know, Dr. Fauci changing his tune on booster shots after the FDA came out recently, the FDA panel came out and made a recommendation that they not be, that boosters would not be used for the majority of the population. Only age 65 and over, or people with extreme situations. Otherwise, the FDA panel voted not to approve Pfizer's request to add a third booster shot. That's pretty big. But then when Fauci was confronted by it, I mean, he literally was asked, had he changed his tune? And when he confronted about it, where's a quote in here? He says, he clarified his support was based on his own personal stance as a scientist. And he said that despite his own feelings on the matter, he could support the decisions of an informed panel. In other words, one day he's saying boosters. The next day he's saying, thank you, FDA. Well, which is it? Well, that's the guy who's out there acting as, you know, the lead, if you will, in the nation. We're back home. We've got Dr. Scott Harris, who has said many times that he listens to and relies upon Dr. Fauci. And then you've got other things like, you know, mixed signals around the state. You've got the Huntsville City School System that put something in place that requires the masking of children ages 2 and up. 2 and up. Now, that was their initial, and if they've changed it since then, I'm not aware of it, so I'll be glad to hear a phone call that says, no, they changed that policy. I would love to hear that. But right now, my understanding was, and we had one of our board members on the show a couple of times, and he confirmed, he even confirmed on the air with us, he wasn't sure how it was that they chose the age 2, whereas down in Baldwin County, it was at second grade and up. And then when you looked at other counties, it was different no matter. I mean, there was zero consistency. Where's our state health officer on this? Is there something that says, hey, folks, listen, two-year-olds, no, that's child abuse. You can't do that. I've got an article right here from the New York Post, Carol Markowitz. And she says, literally, the title of it is, masking two-year-olds is proof positive we've gone way too far. And there's a video that came out recently, and it just broke my heart. This little two-year-old toddler being dragged off a plane for not masking correctly. Can you imagine? In the video, the child saying, no, while his mom's trying to keep the mask on him is just heart-wrenching. Then there was another one who was in daycare, and the video kept showing the woman who was in charge of the child, two-year-old. I can't keep shoes on my kids when they were 2 years old, much less expecting the small two-year-old to understand why they have to have a mask on their face. And this woman kept forcing the mask on his face, and he would get upset and pull it off. She'd force the mask back on his face, and it went over and over again. Well, you know, last week, New York Governor Kathy Hochul announced there's going to be a return to a policy that masks all kids 2 years old and older in a daycare or school setting. Huntsville's doing that now. And yet we have a state health officer who we don't have any consistent application of what's supposed to be even necessary. And I'm just telling you, masking a two-year-old is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's not going to work. And we need to start focusing on things that have actual data attached to them. Oh, I don't know. Maybe like the Surgeon General from Florida said, maybe we should actually rely on data and not fear. And not subjective opinion, but actual facts. That would be amazing. So anyway, listen, we're going to run to a short break. When we come back from that, we're going to wrap up this segment. I'll be opening the phones up here pretty soon. Had a couple of calls already. If you want to talk about some of what I've talked about today, the triple dipper so far has been the fact that Biden is running a smokescreen to cover up the spending bills he's losing badly on. The border chaos leads to more chaos. I've got more on that coming up pretty soon. And then on top of that, Florida is leading from the front on public health. Wouldn't it be amazing if Alabama could do the same? All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You can also listen to us live at rightsideradio.org. Just go there, rightsideradio.org, and click Listen Live. Hey, by the way, if you hear the advertisers that we call our Right Side team, if you'd like to be a part of the Right Side team and advertise your business on Right Side Radio, just know that we've still got room. I just signed up two more today, by the way, joining the Right Side Radio team. But folks, you can do that yourself. Go to rightsideradio.org. rightsideradio.org. Click on the contact tab and go get the information from my brother Bobby, who will take care of you, and he will have you signed up as quick as you can to shake a stick. And we would love to have you on the team. I think we got a couple of spots left that we could probably fill, so just be aware. We'll add to that Right Side team if you so choose. Well, listen, so I said I got a triple dipper for the day, and we've been going through them. The first one was that the Biden smokescreen is in full effect. The smokescreen is trying to cover up every mistake they're making with separate mistakes that they continue making, with more mistakes that they continue making. But all of it, in my opinion, is done to obfuscate or to cover up or to keep from being, you know, readily apparent that the biggest part of Biden's agenda are two spending bills that are potentially going to fail in the next few days. And we need to hope that they do. We need to hope that they do, because right now there is no way we can possibly afford them. The second thing in my triple dipper was I said that Florida is leading from the front on public health in a way that Alabama is not. Now, don't let me imply that Alabama is doing everything wrong, all right? I'm not trying to say that at all. But what I am saying is that Florida and virtually every other state in the nation has the opportunity to have their governor appoint, or at least a board appointed by the governor, appoint someone who is their state health officer. In this case, they call it the Florida Surgeon General. We call it our public health officer. Our public health officer, though, is not accountable to anyone. Not appointed by the governor, not confirmed by the Senate. Appointed instead by his peers at the Medical Association of Alabama. It shouldn't be that way. You need accountability on a position that can obviously shut down your business. You need accountability on a position that can restrict society. There should be no means by which a state should have to be subjected to an unelected official issuing edicts that change daily living for the people of the state. The third thing I've got is the fact that the border chaos is leading to more chaos. Now listen, there's stuff happening right now down on the border. I'm watching right now that literally I'm seeing stories even a moment ago on Fox. They're interviewing Department of Public Safety officials in Texas who are dealing with the border crisis like, I mean, folks, it's beyond comparison. I don't have anything to push this to except the images that I've seen of foreign countries where there's war torn. Remember when the Tutsis and the Hutus were fighting in northern Africa, and there was mass chaos, and there were huge migrant refugees moving out of the war-torn areas. That's what it looks like on our southern border right now, and yet there's no war. People are saying, oh, they're trying to leave, you know, a depressed opportunity where they were. That's not the same as rushing away from immediate danger and war. And they're flooding across our border right now. The stories coming out of that chaos, though, are that more chaos is being created. I mean, I'm looking at a story right now on Fox, and I'll probably have another clip to play about this here in a few minutes. But in fact, I'll tell you what, Copper, I'll let you get ready. Let's see here. The next clips we're going to wind up playing are going to be clip 5 and 6. So you can go ahead and get clips 5 and 6 ready. And just let me know when you're ready on those. I might do clip 5 before the next break. But clips 5 and 6, Copper. So the bottom line is I'm looking at one story right now on Fox. It's the same Texas rancher that we've had several quotes from, audio clips. She's literally saying that just the other day that her ranch alone, they had 23 illegals that were walking across their property. And she goes on to talk about the fact that something's got to be done. She says we actually had to intervene. And then we took them to Border Patrol and handed them over to DPS for prosecution. Folks, that's what's happening right now. It's not like you've got the Customs and Border Patrol able to handle it. Some are getting through. They stop them and take care of it. You've got citizens having to stop trespassers on their land, near their houses, near their cattle, near their places of business. The citizens are then having to hand them over to the state Department of Public Safety, who is then handing over to the federal. It's an all-hands-on-deck because the federal government is a debacle, and yet no one can seem to put a label on how many people are coming across. Okay, so here's the deal. I got clip five. I see you're ready, Clapper. I got clip five is Senator Ron Johnson, who is dealing with questions and answers with Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Mayorkas, if you will recall, before he got appointed by the Biden administration, was an immigration activist. He was firmly in favor of open border policies. He was all about amnesty for illegal immigrants. And now he's in charge of our border patrol. He's in charge of our borders. Does he even know what's going on? Play clip five.
Listen.
How many people have been returned? How many people are being detained? How many people have been dispersed to all points around America?
Senator, I would be pleased to provide you with that data.
I want them now. Why don't you have that information now?
Senator, I do not have that data.
Why not?
For me.
Why don't you have that basic information?
Well, Carl,
it's basic.
The secretary doesn't want to admit the numbers. They know the numbers. Bill Malugin sent out a tweet yesterday, and he said, according to Texas Department of Public Safety, as of this morning, there were 332 husband-wife combinations where the wife is pregnant under the bridge in Del Rio. Now, we're going to break down the numbers and figure this out. All right. There were 6,700 family units.
All right, go ahead and stop there, Kevin. So the bottom line was the part that I was focusing on at first was actually a clip within a clip, all right? It was a part of a broader Fox News section with Karl Rove, and they first played a clip of Ron Johnson questioning Secretary Mayorkas. So just, you know, it's like nesting dolls here, all right? You got a clip within a clip. But the Ron Johnson piece of it was literally going to town on the fact that Senator Johnson's at a hearing with Mayorkas, and he goes, I want to know how many? How many? And Mayorkas couldn't answer. Well, a moment ago, by the way, during one of the last breaks, they played a clip, and I've got right here in the studio. I've got one of the big screen TVs going. Had a clip on Fox in that case, showing Mayorkas basically having him a little defensive moment when he was being questioned by, I believe, somebody in the media, and his response was, "Look, I work 18 hours a day. I'll get you the information when I can." That's just unacceptable. That is unacceptable because we have people dying. We have property being trounced on. We have people escaping into the inner parts of our nation. We have nobody testing for COVID on the border down there. There's no vaccine mandate for illegal immigrants. And yet, Secretary Mayorkas is busy working 18 hours a day. Doing what, by the way? I'd like to know what it is he's accomplishing with his 18-hour days. I'm sure there's something. Probably some liberal policy to make sure we have diversity in the ranks. I don't know. But reality is he's doing nothing to stem the flow across the border. We're going to unpack that even more when I get back. Because the third thing in the triple dipper today is that this border chaos is leading to even more chaos in other places. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, and live online at rightsideradio.org. We'll be right back.